This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Detective Robbie McCain was just fired 2 days after a judge signed a 19-page order calling his handling of evidence in the Aaron Spencer case intentional and describing a pattern of policy and procedure violations that gives the, quote, appearance of a cover-up. The Lonoke County Sheriff's Office terminated him for policy violations. No further explanation. McCain isn't the only one heading for the exits. The prosecutor who pushed this case to its final breath is conveniently retiring this year. The county clerk resigned months ago, citing repeated persecution. The people connected to the system are scattering, and the document they're running from tells you exactly why. We're going to go through the order. All 19 pages of it, and I've summarized it a bit, but I want to walk you through what Judge Ralph Wilson Jr. actually wrote. Not the headlines, not the summaries, not the social media version, but the actual findings. Because what's in this document is worse than what most people think in the Aaron Spencer case. And it's more specific than most people realize, too. This isn't a judge giving a vague opinion about sloppy police work. This is a constitutional ruling grounded in the 5th and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution in Article 2, Section 8 of the Arkansas Constitution, with specific documented findings of fact designed to survive an appeal. Wilson didn't write this to close a case. He wrote it to create a record. And that record is rather devastating. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we work our way through this. The links are in the description. One thing you guys need to understand, and appreciate, is how extraordinary this is that we're even here, that the judge made this ruling, that the judge threw this case out. Wilson's decision rests heavily on a case called State v. Clarks, a 2024 Arkansas Supreme Court decision. In Clarks, a trial court dismissed felony charges because law enforcement failed to preserve body camera evidence. The Arkansas Supreme Court reversed that dismissal. They said losing the evidence was bad, but dismissal was too extreme a remedy. It's a legal ceiling Wilson was working under. The state's highest court had already said that losing evidence by itself wasn't enough to throw out a case. Wilson found that what happened in the Spencer case cleared that bar. What Lonoke County did was worse than what the Supreme Court already said wasn't bad enough. That's how far beyond the line this went. So here's what the judge found. And I'm going to be specific because the specifics are what make this impossible to explain away. The dash cam in Michael Fossler's truck was mounted on the front windshield, just to the right of the rear view mirror. It had dual cameras, a forward-facing lens and an interior lens capable of recording events in front of the truck and inside the cab, potentially behind the vehicle, too. This wasn't some incidental item at the scene that nobody knew. What does this do, Bill? This was the only objective recording device that could have captured the final encounter between Aaron Spencer and Michael Fossler. It was the key. What the prosecution called murder and the defense called a father protecting his daughter, the dash cam could have settled it. Detective Robbie McCann was the first investigator on the scene. According to the court's findings, he removed that dash cam from the windshield without photographing its position, without recording it in the crime scene sketch, without documenting its existence in the incident report. The Lonoke County Sheriff's Office has a policy for this, Policy 16-1, Procedure 1, Collection of Evidence. The judge quoted it directly, after locating an item considered pertinent to the case under the investigation, It should not be disturbed until it has been photographed, measurements taken, its position recorded on the crime scene sketch, and entered into the officer's notebook. McCain violated every part of that procedure. Then he found the micro SD card inside the camera. He removed it, placed it into an adapter for a regular size SD card, inserted it into a card reader, and opened it on his personal computer in his office. He said he viewed 4 video files, 3 running longer than 15 minutes each, and a 4th that was shorter. He said the footage showed a forward-facing view from Fossler's truck, recorded after the incident, with blue lights in the background and nothing of evidentiary value. The court didn't accept that on its face value. Expert witness Brandon Purchase converted McCain's account of what was on the card. And he said, that's not how that works. These cards, this camera, none of what you said even makes sense. It doesn't record things that way. It doesn't record things of that length. And the judge noted in the order that there is a reasonable possibility that he didn't see what he said he saw. Because what he's talking about that he found on that file would be a physical impossibility for the camera to create a file like what he said. The judge found it reasonably possible that the detective who viewed the only objectable evidence in a murder case did not see what he testified he saw, and no copy was ever made. No screenshot, no documentation of the file. Names, sizes, or timestamps, absolutely nothing. And here's where it gets harder to call it a mistake. The court heard testimony from another lieutenant, Lieutenant Portal, the head of LCSO's Criminal Investigation Unit, McCain's own commanding officer, and from expert witness Jason Stachey, a retired Hot Springs police chief, both confirmed that LCSO standard practice is not to manipulate electronic devices or check for SD cards before sending them to the Attorney General's Digital Forensic Unit. The stated reason, in their own words, doing so risks wiping data and everything else. Stachey further testified that McCain was not trained to remove SD cards because of exactly that risk. LCSO officers don't check whether devices contain expanded memory. They don't open files on their own computers. They send everything to the AG's office untouched. That's the protocol. That's what they do with every phone, every computer, every tablet, every piece of digital evidence they seize, except this one for some reason. This was the only dash cam LCSO has ever seized during an investigation. McCain said so himself. And on one occasion, they had one in a case involving a man facing 43 criminal counts related to an alleged offense against a 13-year-old girl in a case where the detective's own department had an institutional stake in the outcome because the defendant was running against the sheriff. On that one occasion, the detective pulled the card, viewed it on his personal machine, and then put it back, apparently. Except he didn't. What he did after viewing it is just as damning. According to the order, McCain placed the SD card back inside the camera, put the camera in an untaped manila envelope, and stored it in his personal office cabinet. Not the evidence room. His office. Expert witness Brendan Purchase noted the SD card snapped securely inside the camera when properly seated. The envelope wasn't sealed. The camera wasn't logged. None of it. The removal, the viewing, the storage was documented in any database, any log, any report, anywhere. Not done. The dash cam was collected on October 8th of 24. It was not entered into evidence in the system until October 16th. Of 2025, more than a full year later. In between, it went from McCain's untaped envelope in his office cabinet to Sergeant Carla Lucas, who took it to the AG's Digital Forensic Unit on November 14th, 24, unlogged the entire time. When Attorney General Special Agent Amber Calmer opened the package, the SD card was, surprise, not inside. It was gone. And in separate searches, investigators found 12 additional SD memory cards across Fossler's house and truck, six at the house, six in the truck. None of them was the card from the dash cam. There was no mention of the dash cam's existence in any discovery document or law enforcement filing until the camera was returned from the AG's office 11 months later. The defense didn't even know it existed. The prosecution disclosed it in an email on July 3rd of 25, and that same email chain confirmed the SD card was missing, lost, or destroyed. There was also a discrepancy between the LCSO evidence form and the AG's intake form about the camera. And it was actually transferred. One says October 14th, 24. The other says November 14th, 24. The state called it a clerical error. The judge noted it without resolving it. Lieutenant Portal testified that McCain's actions violated department policy in four specific ways: failure to document removing the camera from the truck, failure to document pulling the SD card, failure to document what he allegedly saw on it, and failure to document its loss. Four violations, all by the same detective, all involving the same piece of evidence, all going in the same direction. The judge's conclusion on all of that was unambiguous. He wrote that the cumulative deviations from LCSO policy and procedures, combined with the intentional actions of law enforcement and not preserving the critical SD memory card, establish a pattern of policy and procedure violations that gives the appearance of a cover-up. He found that the defense had proven bad faith. He found that the evidence had potentially exculpatory value, and the prosecution agreed with that. In its own response, the state acknowledged that the dash cam and SD card possessed potential exculpatory value and would have been potentially useful for both defendant and the state. The prosecution conceded the evidence mattered, and Wilson found the investigators deliberately failed to preserve it. The judge also addressed why no alternative existed. Spencer has a Fifth Amendment right not to testify. His own account of what happened can't be compelled. His daughter's testimony, while relevant, would be colored by the stress and trauma of that night. The dash cam footage would have been the only objective evidence of the encounter, not shaped by human perception, not subject to bias, not filtered through memory. Video evidence, Wilson wrote, is objective, not altered by human perception or bias or self-interest. It was irreplaceable, and it's gone. So Wilson granted the dismissal. He acknowledged it was an extraordinary and extreme remedy. He wrote that the Clark's opinion itself recognized there may be occasions in law enforcement conduct is so egregious that dismissal is warranted. He found that this was one of those occasions, and he dismissed the case. That's what the judge actually said. That's what's in the document, not a summary, not a paraphrase, the specific line-by-line findings of a sitting judge who spent 19 pages building a constitutional record that says the people investigating this case didn't just fail, they appear to have intentionally corrupted the evidence. Now look at what's happening around that document. McCain, the detective at the center of every finding in that order, was terminated by the Lone Oak County Sheriff's Office, fired for policy violations. 2 days after the order was signed, the sheriff's office hasn't confirmed whether the termination is connected to the dismissal, which is itself a remarkable thing to leave unconfirmed when a judge just documented those violations in a signed constitutional ruling. Chuck Graham, the Lone Oak County prosecuting attorney who pushed this case all the way to his final filing, opposing dismissal the day before Wilson granted it, is retiring this year. His office confirmed that he didn't return messages from reporters after the dismissal. He hasn't publicly explained why he kept fighting for a murder conviction while the evidence problems were being documented in motion after motion. Now, why are you protecting a dead predator, I guess, is the question. That seems odd to a lot of us. Dawn Porterfield, the county clerk, she resigned back in February, days before the primary election that Spencer won. Her resignation letter cited personal and family health reasons and repeated persecution of myself and others who work for me. She said people in her own office repeatedly ignored my instructions. Her departure came before the dismissal, and her stated reasons may be entirely separate from the Spencer case. But she's another official who left a system that was fracturing under the weight of national scrutiny. Here's my read on this. Firing Robbie McCain isn't accountability. It's containment. It makes him the designated fall guy for a problem that the judge's order describes as systematic. The order doesn't say one detective had a bad day. It says there was a pattern. Patterns don't involve always just one person. And the system's response so far is to fire the detective, let the prosecutor retire quietly, and treat the judicial finding of the appearance of a cover-up like a personal matter. It's not a reckoning. That's a controlled demolition. Taking down the visible structure so nobody looks at the foundation underneath. Because the question the order raises, don't stop at Robbie McCain. Was he acting alone? Who directed the investigation strategy? Who made the decision to keep pushing a murder charge against a father who protected his daughter after the evidence handling had been flagged repeatedly in court filings? Why did Fossler's pretrial supervision fail so completely that a man facing 43 counts involving a child allegedly had contact with that child again while on bond with a no contact order in place and nobody in the system caught it? In fact, they encouraged it. They're the ones who set it up. The judge found that Fossler never even appeared before a district court judge for a Rule 8-1 hearing. The pretrial order was unified. The system that was supposed to supervise his release barely functioned. Why? Why did it barely function? Is it incompetent? Is it inept? Or is it covering for other predators? Are there others in the circle here of Fossler that don't necessarily want anybody pulling on those strings? What might we find if we pull here or there or here? And if we just lock this guy up, that'll go. Oh, wait. Oh, now he's going to be the sheriff. Oh, now he can pull the strings. Oh, wait. Now the floodgates are open. Now everybody's bad behavior. Everybody thought that they could hide behind and not have exposed. Well, guess what's coming to get some sunshine? All of you fuckers. Those aren't questions. A termination letter answers. Those aren't questions a quiet retirement resolves. Those are federal questions. And what Judge Wilson produced isn't just an order, it's a roadmap for anyone with the authority to ask them. Every policy violation is documented, every date is cited, every failure to preserve, log, and document evidence is laid out with the constitutional specificity that a federal investigation would require. A sitting judge just wrote a 19-page brief, cited and placed it in the public record. It contains findings of intentional law enforcement conduct, a pattern of procedural violations, the appearance of a cover-up, and constitutional violations under both state and federal law, all in a case involving a man who faced 43 counts related to an alleged offense against a child. The system's response has been a termination and a retirement. That's not accountability. That's a system managing its exposure. And until someone with federal authority picks up the document Wilson left for them on a silver platter, the people who let this happen beyond Robbie McCain aren't answering to anyone. So let's make sure they do. Let's make sure people are aware. Let's make sure the feds know, hey, a little tension over here. You can do that yourself. You can do that yourself by sharing the story, tweeting it to, federal authorities, Cash Patel, the FBI. Let them know you'd like a bit of an investigation into these motherfuckers. They care about protecting children. That's about the only route to go. Because if you think these people are about protecting them, well, just look at their track record and the appearance of the cover-up, according to the judge. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue our conversation there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
I was hoping we'd have a show like this. I was hoping we'd get here someday before a trial actually took place and a judge put the words appearance of a cover-up and so egregious into a 19-page order dismissing the murder case against Aaron Spencer, the Arkansas father charged with killing Michael Fossler, the 67-year-old man accused of crimes against Spencer's 13-year-old daughter. Special Circuit Court Judge Ralph Wilson cataloged 11 specific failures by the lead detective on the case, Robbie McCain. Evidence not photographed, not logged, viewed on a personal computer, stored in an office drawer for a year, and ultimately lost. The state argued negligence. Wilson found bad faith. The second-degree murder charge is gone. So here we are. Time to break it all down on where it goes from here. And your thoughts in the comments section on Substack, YouTube, or wherever you're watching this right now. Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, joining us as always. Been on this case from day one. Let's start with the big words. Appearance of a cover-up. And so egregious. Those are the judge's words in writing in a single order. You've been analyzing criminal cases for a long time. How rare is that language from a sitting judge?
Pretty rare. It's pretty rare. I mean, when I read it, I was, you know, that was like a whoa moment, because it's a big thing for a judge to do that. I mean, it's a big thing for a judge to really take that step and say that I think that the police have done something untoward at all, you know, to go to the length of, all right, this, it, if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's a duck type situation. It blew my mind, frankly, because he didn't have to do it. You know what I mean? He could have just, and it was a carefully crafted order. You know, he put a lot of thought into it. That wasn't something he just threw together. And ultimately, it was a situation where he just couldn't ignore what was in front of him, you know. And I think that ultimately, and we'll probably get into this area a bit, I think the fact that because he was a retired judge who had been appointed really gave him the freedom to kind of say what he wanted to say.
Yeah.
Whereas if he was still on the bench actively, he may have tempered it some. So,
and I'm wondering about how we got to this point here, because it all comes down really. I mean, the big thing is the SD card going missing from the camera itself. And then we've talked about it before. This is a piece that I have, did all of the details that the judge ruled on here, from it getting in his computer, him saying, oh, the videos were this long when the camera's not even capable of recording to that length, all of the bullshit that was spewed out there. That did all of that really come later into this investigation as we're getting closer to the trial date? Or have these facts been known all along and it just finally took this judge to step up and say, what are you all doing?
Yeah, to me, in terms of the cover-up aspect of it, it's undeniable that they clearly knew, they being Lono County Sheriff and, for all intents and purposes, the AG, and their office, who's the one who said, look, you sent this dash cam to us, but the SD card's not there. They'd known about it for months. Because remember, this thing doesn't, the defense has no awareness that this dashboard cam even exists in the world at all.
Yeah.
Because they decided not to, for whatever reason, which was one of the reasons that I think the judge ended up, you know, ruling the way that he ruled, was not in any way, shape, or form in evidence. There was no chain of custody. There was no evidence log. There was no evidence whatsoever that they had recovered the thing from the scene. You know, so when you're looking at that, ostensibly, you have to be like, what is going on here? You know, what is going on here? And there's, I'm hard pressed to think of any kind of reasonable explanation that exists, because everything else that required digital forensics to be performed on it was sent within 2 days. You know what I'm saying? And the only thing that wasn't sent on that first run was the dashboard cam, you know? And it's like, I think the judge was left with no choice. You know, and the question for me was always, because it's such an extreme remedy, you know, is he going to have the balls to do it? Because it's a huge swing, you know, dismissing a case like this. But, you know, like I had been saying all along, to me, this was a perfect storm wherein you had the public sentiment behind Aaron Spencer. I think you had a lot of people within the government in Arkansas behind Aaron Spencer. You know, it just, it was lined up so that I think Judge Wilson decided ultimately, look, they shit the bed on this thing massively. Like there's no way that I can allow this thing to go to trial. And, you know, I'm willing to put my neck out on it because, you know, I think it was so egregious in terms of what they had done.
They called it extraordinary and extreme. I mean, that's when you're looking at this and you're looking at, okay, he had, and there was other violations too, but the SD card is the most egregious in the camera, the whole damn thing. I mean, it's like he handled it as if he was handling it like a shitty thing that came in from Temu that he forgot that he ordered. Oh, look at this. I bought that the other night when I was really high and it was $3.99. Who would have known? And then, you know, you put it in your drawer and it's just, and it sits for years and eventually you're like, what is this thing? Wow. Oh, I bought that on Temu. It was like, but it was a key piece of evidence. I mean, is there any world that exists in which this was just one giant F up because they're not accustomed to dealing with high profile cases or cases of any substance of value? I mean, that's insane to say. Of course, every case that goes through has some value to it. Right. These are people's lives that are on the line. It seems the if it's utter carelessness, well, that's a huge problem in itself. Yeah. But if it's beyond that, because I guess that's the weird part about this. The hiding of the evidence or the keeping it in his desk, opening it on his personal computer, this and that, all the claims that he made. He didn't like go lock it up in a safe. He didn't go destroy it. Or, I mean, it was like it was there. It was just not where it was supposed to be, except for the SD card. We don't know where the hell that went.
Right.
I mean,
it's the only part that matters.
The only part that matters. But the fact that it's like, it's just kind of like, oh, it's over on his desk, but nobody can touch it. There are little tendrils to it that just seem like, well, he's a dipshit. But there's a lot more that seem like maybe there's something else going on here. Can we ever really get to the answer to that question?
I don't know. Because, you know, what happened, I think the very next day is Robbie McCain was terminated.
Mm-hmm.
And as you may or may not know, Aaron won the primary for sheriff.
Yeah.
And the general election's coming on in November. And if he wins, obviously he's going to be the new sheriff come like January 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you would think that at that point in time, if anybody's going to be able to get answers, it's going to be Aaron Spencer when he gets in there as the boss man. You know, as to what happened with Robbie McCain and, you know, like I'd love to have that guy on the show. Now that he's no longer working for the Lone Oak County Sheriff's Department, I'd love to have him on and ask him some questions because, like, I hate throwing shit out there that's not substantiated in any way, shape, or form. But I saw postings that McCain was saying that he had intentionally destroyed the thing in order to help Aaron. Now, I don't know if McCain said, I don't know if any of that's true.
Yeah.
You know, but when you're thinking, when you're trying to think about a situation wherein why this thing would go missing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the possibilities, right? I mean, if you're going to say, okay, here's the five different possibilities. If this was done intentionally as to why it was done, it was either to help Fossler. It was either done to help Aaron, depending on what the footage shows, right? And we'll never know what the footage shows, which is where the whole thing is. You know, I don't know.
I've seen those postings too, and I was like, huh, let me think about that for a minute. Like, yeah. I could there be a world in, I mean, either way, it's unprofessional. It's not acceptable. He should not be in law enforcement if he's putting his finger on the hand of justice, no matter what direction it goes in. It's not for him to do. But if there was this wild hair idea of, oh shit, maybe there's something on here that wouldn't fare well for Aaron Spencer in court, how about I just destroy that for him? Okay. I mean, not what you should be doing at all. And I'm not going to say I'm accepting that because it's not okay, but I could see that being a not super experienced in life or in that sort of role position, human being taking the law into their own hands. And we all know that in smaller departments and stuff, shit like this does happen all the time. Yeah. So is that a possibility? Was this a harebrained idea of I'm going to do this and it's going to benefit him, but in the way it really played out, I mean, it ultimately got the damn thing dismissed, but had it not gotten there, had we been stuck with the same judge before, it also would have probably put him in prison for the rest of his life, too. So, I mean, it's quite a gamble to make.
It's a huge gamble, man. It's like, there's no, like, because the reason I dismiss it as a possibility, frankly, is for the reason that you just described, which is there's no way Robbie McCain, like, played 3D chess with this shit and figured, all right, I'm going to get rid of this thing. And ultimately what's going to happen is the defense attorney is going to file a motion to dismiss because this thing disappeared. And ultimately the case is going to get dismissed by a judge through paper.
Like there, yeah, I mean, it's quite no a foretelling of the future.
Yeah. There's no way in hell that happened, man. So, and you know, the other part of it is when you kind of think about it in the sense that, is one cop viewing a video somebody that you're going to trust in terms of what the evidence shows or doesn't show, you know, and how you're crafting an argument behind mm-hmm. what the video shows or doesn't show? It's like all of it seems completely implausible to me. But then again, man, like where did it go? Like, I just want to know I want to know where the damn thing went.
No, you know, I mean, if they had handled it like evidence, it wouldn't be lost. That would be solution number one. Handle it like evidence. Don't handle it like, oh, I just got a cheeseburger. I'm going to go use the bathroom real quick. Aren't these cards tiny? Have you seen how tiny these cards are? And you walk down the hall and you set it on the urinal and you go to the bathroom and then you go back. Oh, shit, the card's in the urinal. Oh, it's not there anymore. And it's the size of a speck of sand. So number one, I mean, I think we've all lost an SD card before. Those of us who use them in things. But so, I mean, it's not like it's impossible to lose one of these things. I understand that is a real possibility. But again, you and me handling SD cards around our offices and studios are not criminal evidence.
Exactly.
So, and you and I there's that.
Yeah. And we're not sitting here saying that we specifically clicked it back into the device from which it came.
Yes, there's that. And the taking out of cards and things can corrupt them very easily. That does happen. If he hadn't testified to what was on the card, and then basically his testimony defied possibility of what he claims he saw because he was identifying video lengths and such that the camera is incapable of actually taking. Had that lined up with reality more, had it been like, yes, they were all whatever it was, 5 minute lengths. I forgot exactly what the camera took.
One, two, three, and five minutes.
If it lined up with what that thing was capable of doing and it made sense, do you think we'd be having this conversation today or do you think this would be in trial?
I think it would probably be going to trial.
Yeah.
I do, because at that point, you know, when you're talking about like Arizona v. Youngblood, which is, you know, the case that the Supreme Court case that this centers around in terms of the preservation of evidence. And when you've got that thing where it's deemed as only potentially useful, you know, then there's not going to be a due process violation unless you can show bad faith. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's negligence, which you're talking about there, then, you know, it's like a shrug of the shoulders. You know what I mean? You're not going to get the case tossed. You have to show the bad faith there. Now, Judge Wilson went through both tests, you know, in terms of the Youngblood and the Trombetta tests. And, you know, he found that the defense had met both.
Yeah.
But again, if you're pulling out the testimony of McCain, which that testimony and what he was saying is what facilitated the defense hiring their expert, right? And their expert, when it comes in and says, all right, I've looked at this model and what this guy is saying is like abjectly false.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. He can't, like, he's lying. Why he's lying, I don't know. So yeah, if that doesn't happen, then I think we're looking at a different scenario. But you know, the bigger thing is like the way that this played out. Remember, the defense didn't become privy to the fact that this thing existed. I'm talking about the dashboard cam in the world until they laid eyes when Aaron Castinelli sees the email from the AG, which got sent over in discovery, which, you know, should have been turned over, but I'm surprised that it was. You know, as soon as she sees the email from the AG saying, yeah, there is no SD card, you know, and Aaron's like, what dashboard cam? I've looked through all the evidence logs. I've never seen one mention of a dashboard cam. And then you've got them trying to go back in time and create this evidence log that makes it seem as if they logged it in back around the time when they recovered it. And that was patently false as well. So, I mean, they were able to pick apart what they had done. And, you know, the underlying question still remains, why? You know, like, why? Like, that's the part that like, I am so thrilled for the Spencer family that, like, I'm not... I don't necessarily want to nitpick on it in terms of wanting to know why anymore, but I still want to know why.
Sure.
I want to know why they did what they did. You know, it's like it's that thing that we've been talking about forever.
Yeah.
Like, who's being protected?
Well, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, is this something where, because sometimes people's ignorance can really masquerade and seem like something far worse than it actually is. Is this something as stupid as, like I just said, like, go to the urinal. Oh, shit, I lost it. It's better to say I saw it. This is a calculation maybe they're making in their mind. Better to say I saw it and then I lost it rather than saying I took it out, looked at it, which I shouldn't have been doing anyhow. But if I say that it existed, then, I mean, I could just see some sort of fucked up, dumb calculation in somebody's mind to cover up their bad behavior or their incompetence, right, and thinking that'll look better than the opposite. When in reality, no, that's not how it's going to play out. Because
negligence is just sloppy. Like, if you had said I dropped it and then I crushed it under the heel of my service shoe, by accident because I didn't see it.
Yeah,
that's going to be negligence. That's not going to be bad faith, because when you slip into that bad faith, that's conduct that reflects awareness that the evidence mattered.
And but was that the calculation going through that person's mind in that moment, I guess, is the question. That's, you know, because somebody could calculate that very inaccurately in their mind.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I mean, there's so many questions. Your thoughts on that so far in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. The links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.